right, welcome back to the Post Sermon Podcast. I'm here with Chris and Micah. How you guys doing?
Great. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, starting off Advent.
Yeah.
Give us a quick intro. You talked about Eskenazen. So tell us about that Greek word.
And yeah, Eskenazen simply means live, reside among us. And so it is reflexive in language that just means it's a verb that someone does something to us. And so what God does is the word dwelt among us, which we're going to get to that sermon in John 1:14. But the preliminary piece builds up to just kind of that delivery of that word. And so I felt it was really important. Just kind of the whole sermon series is really that one thought.
Right.
And so today we really talked about how there's three reasons why the Christmas season can get a little frustrating. One is materialistic attitude of our culture.
Right.
Two is the chaos that comes with family and family again, especially after you did Thanksgiving. And then it's even the good part, which is the holiday spirit, and we can kind of get all caught up in Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and Christmas trees and miss out on the true reason for the season.
Right.
And so we talked about how God just came in and indwell. And the really cool part is when people like question the Trinity, they haven't read John 1:1.
Right.
Because it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, which you're like, okay, with God. But when you say the Word was God, now we've got like a very difficult understanding. And so we talk about how can the Word be God and be distinct, but fully divine? How can Jesus be fully divine, fully human? And the best, obviously the analogy breaks down, but closest I can get is I took a picture of Mills Pond, said, and I took water. I went I got a bottle of water and filled it up with Mills Pond water, and I said, this bottle of water is from Mills Pond. Is this Mills Pond? And everyone goes, no. But is it the same substance as Mills Pond? Yes. And that's how Jesus is. He is distinct in that he is not God the Father, but he is the same in that it's the same substance.
Right.
And that same substance, what makes it so beautiful is when Jesus becomes a man, he takes on human flesh, chemically changing the makeup of God forever, which is what makes the birth of Christ so incredible from a Trinitarian thought process. And this is where I'm getting overly nerdy, but hang with me, is that God takes on humanity into the Godhead, and he's permanently and forever has a human aspect to him,
right,
which to me is mind-blowing.
Right.
Okay, then beyond that, it's the same God who ordered the chaos of creation, and this, which in turn makes him the same God that orders the chaos of our life.
Right.
And then finally, he is the light. Jesus is the light that pushbacks on the darkness, materially in the sense of creation, but then also spiritually in terms of the darkness can't stand where Jesus is.
Right.
And so we went and we said, are you experiencing Christmas or are you experiencing eschatism?
Right, right. And so you asked this really big question from Tozer,
who said,
most important thing about you is what you think about when you think of God, right?
Right.
Like what pops into your brain when God...
Yeah, what responses do we get to that?
So there were a lot, and there were a bunch of repeats, so
sure.
I'll summarize as best as I can here.
Yeah, yeah.
Holiness.
Okay.
We've got a lot of holinesses. Almighty and most powerful creator of everything.
Nice.
Hope and grace, love, lots of loves.
Nice.
Lots of loves. Someone said, I think about my father who has passed, and that is how my heavenly father is.
Oh, that's sweet.
Salvation. When I think about God, I think about peace, his omnipresence, unconditional love.
Nice.
Savior, redeemer, my rock. He's a good dad. I think about his mercy, how undeserving I am. Let's see here. Uncompromising and unconditionally loving, magnificent, glorious, King, Father, gracious, and I could go on. he's sovereign, he's in control, he's loving, he's generous, he's merciful, just. He's there for others.
Nice.
He's far from me, emotionally unavailable.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Powerful, righteous, merciful. I used to think that God was the type of God that would allow me to do big things, but then take it away because I'm a woman, because that's kind of how my dad is. I think about love and his saying, we aren't alone. That's good. What do you think about when you think about God? Oh, they just wrote the question. I forgot the answer. I'll cut that out. Think about God as my creator, my heavenly father, the one I pray to every single day, good and bad, and thank him for everything he's done for us slash me. Eternity. God indwells when we believe. Love, guidance, foundational authority and structure.
Nice.
Rest. Someone just said everything.
Okay.
That's good. Grace and love. Let's see here. A cross. Magnificent, all-powerful provider, loving father. Love and holiness. I thought that said love and holy mess.
I thought one of them said a plumber. So I,
a plumber. Yeah, well, hey, you know, there's an analogy there. God is perfect and good all the time. Omnipresent and forgiving. Someone said confusion. Holy Lord. Let's see here. My creator, father, and someone who is always there. Never stops pursuing me. God is in control. I am fragile. I need to rely on God and trust him. When I think about God, I think about a good father. That love doesn't just mean grace and forgiveness, but balanced with discipline.
Nice.
There you go. Overly forgiving, someone said. Big. Let's see here. Peace and life. Intimidating, someone said.
Interesting. That's a good one.
What do I think about when I think about God? An attempt at comprehending something / someone incomprehensible.
Nice.
So, big and mysterious. Grandeur. Unconditional love. God gave us Jesus who made sacrifice for us. And last one is like a school principal.
What?
All right, I want to talk to there's several in there that was like a school principal, confusion.
Mm-hmm. Like my dad,
Like my dad who wasn't great, who wants to take things away from me.
Right.
Man, I really appreciate the people who wrote that because, not that the other ones weren't wonderful because I think they were all great and they're all true and they're beautiful. But when we get to kind of being real with God and real with who we are, we start with like, maybe it is confusing.
Yeah.
And I want to speak to that because it is confusing to think about God, and why does he have to do it the way he does it? Why doesn't he just show up and make things right? And I think that can be confusing on why God decided to even make humans or make people who are fragile and sinful in the first place. And that's confusing. But God, out of his love, and I think that's the part that you can't really wrap your head around it. Why does God create anything?
Right.
But he's a perfect relationship in within himself. So it's not like he was lonely. It's not like he needed friends. But rather, he creates the world out of his love to experience, to share that love with more and more creatures, primarily human beings. And so I feel like we can kind of miss out on that when we see what sin has done, and that creates confusion, and it sort of fogs our mind. And that's why dads, it's not because dads want to be crappy dads. Like every dad, as a father, I want to be the best dad on the planet. But what happens is my own sinful nature has a tendency to get in the way of that, and it breaks down the relationship in terms of me being right, you being wrong, you should do what you're told because I know what's best for you. And for a long time, that's true.
Right.
But at some point, as we're training children, we're always training them to let them go and to be their own people. But if you aren't able to give up that control because the sinful nature is within you, then that creates a reliance and dependent upon, it's almost a codependency on having somebody to control, which is why there's a breakdown in Christmas events, there's a breakdown in Thanksgiving,
right.
And although you love someone very deeply, it can be very painful because of that, and then that skews the way you view God, and it feels like God can be a very painful deity, if you will, as opposed to one that wants to love you unconditionally and share with you life, and then more importantly, dwell with you.
Right. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, and you brought up James Fuller to share from his story, and that was really dark stuff that he's been
through. Poor James. He was gonna be here, and then we forgot to ask him. All right. No. So James had an incredible story in just going through unbelievable amounts of darkness. He had an abusive dad, kind of fit the profile of a person that would be far from God. But then also he was involved with a lot of violence in the military. And as a person who's been in the military, I can attest to all the things that he said of just like looking at picking up guts and just experiencing death on that level. And many times I had soldiers ask me, why is this happening? And the answer for James, the answer for us is the same one, is that sin has infected the planet, and it's a reason why people go to war, it's why people get divorced, and it's why ultimately people die.
Right.
That is the same answer every time, and it's sin. But eschenesin happens so that God can come redeem the planet by becoming the substitutionary atonement, which is just big words for it. He took our place on the cross for the punishment our sins deserved, and then he rose from the dead. And we should, that's why we sing songs, and that's why we make up Christmas carols, and that's why we sing about the birth of the king, because he's come to save us, and only that king can save us by dying, which is such a bizarre thing. And that's why the crown and the cross become a really powerful motif in the story of Jesus, and we need to just have it just resonate in our soul of thinking about eschenism this season.
So this is the season of Advent, where we historically as a church we start to think about and dwell on Jesus's first coming and what that was like. And so as you're wanting people to kind of start soaking their minds in this, what would be some good practical, like, where would you point them if someone's like, I want to read a little bit more about this, or like think on this a little further, what would you tell them?
I feel like there's several places. I think Bible-wise, obviously, going to the story of Luke, going to the story of Matthew can get a little violent, going to the story of John 1, and just really dwelling on this scripture. I think reading A.W. Tozer and some of his great works is actually not a bad place to go as well. But ultimately, just really focusing on what does it mean for God to become a man? I mean, I think we've, at least in American evangelical culture, we are so inoculated to being shocked by that that we don't even think it's crazy anymore.
Right.
But it's so crazy. It should make you go, what? And that's why we almost need to have a non-believer perspective and go, that's insane. And then when you realize it's true, that makes it more, even more beautiful.
Right.
So just really focusing on those things. You know, one of the fun things about the Advent season is there's a bunch of Advent calendars that you can do with your family, and you can go anywhere and get one of those. And honestly, they're really, really effective tools in really taking your family through what Christmas is really all about, as opposed to just watching Rudolph and Frosty. Not that, listen, I've already watched Rudolph and Frosty, as well as Christmas Story a billion times, but I do want to introduce my children at least to the Advent story of, really, it's about Jesus coming, and then we're really expecting him to come again.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for that. Thanks for bringing the word today, and thank you all for sending in all those amazing responses, and we'll see you guys next week for Eschenesin week 2.